This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Few people better equipped to speak off after a Washington-Dallas game than Babe Laufenberg. Of course, Babe was drafted by Joe Gibbs in Washington. 8-year NFL vet.
Now, they had 3 stints here in Washington.
I know, man. A lot of them. Now close to 30 years doing Cowboys broadcasting. Babe joins us now. I assume he's made it back to Texas. Babe, what's up, man? How are you?
I am good. I have made it back to Texas. I fly in the charter, so that makes it nice, as you know.
Much
and
better.
I got to tell you, JP and B. Mitch, I got to tell you, I love the name of the show, Misery Monday. I mean, that's awesome.
Actually, that would have been our doing.
Today, though, it's accurate.
It is.
If they win, what does the show become?
Victory Monday.
Okay. We had a longtime radio guy here and longtime columnist, kind of an icon here in Dallas, a guy named Randy Galloway. You guys may not be familiar. Okay.
Yeah.
But he used to call it, he called his show on Monday, Overreaction Monday.
Well, that's every week.
If the Cowboys won, now this year's a little bit different, but then it's, you know, let's talk Super Bowl. And if they lost, of course, they need to fire everybody and
right.
They'll never win another game. So I love the Overreaction Monday, but I also love Misery Monday.
Yeah.
So, babe, let's start here. Certainly an unexpected win for Dallas yesterday. Do you believe Washington kind of gave that thing away, or did Dallas go out and just earn a tough road win?
Well, I mean, I think you earn every win. I mean, either team would have earned it. They would have had to do something right to win the football game. But it's interesting every week, and you guys see it. You follow it. I'm sitting there doing the games, and I have to give a update, NFL update. Naturally, it's sponsored, you know. But we have to get – and I'll sit there, and I'm not seeing these games, right? But all of a sudden, I'm talking about – Carolina and Kansas City are tied. Or the Raiders are beating Baltimore, and I'm just looking and going, whoa. And so it's funny. I mean, I know there are upsets. I know there are betting lines, but I just don't. You know, there really aren't any upsets anymore in the NFL. And again, I know Cowboys were, I think, 10 or 10.5 point underdogs, but you know, it's just not college football where. You know, once upon a time when Alabama got off the bus, as long as the third bus didn't break down, the first two could break down, Alabama was still going to win the game. It's just not like that in the NFL.
Yeah, I just think it's different than any other game when you have rivals playing against each other, and especially division rivals. I think once you get that, you could throw the records out the window.
Yeah, and it's funny, though. You know, the NFL that we were in, B. Mitch, is kind of not the NFL of today with free agency. And I think you guys, if I read it correctly, I think only 3 of your defensive starters were even on the team last year. I know Chan and all these guys. So there's not that buildup of playing each other twice a year, and you're a part of that twice a year for 5 years, and you kind of grow that hatred and for the other guys. But I do like this. I think you guys obviously you're on the right path. You got a great quarterback, young quarterback. I think Dan Quinn's a heck of a coach. And, I mean, I'm hoping this thing gets back to where it was, where both teams are good and these games are really big games. Of course, this year, the Cowboys aren't holding up their end of the bargain. In the last decade, it's been, you know, Washington.
Yep.
So I really am hoping this thing gets back up and going because there's – You know, I know Baltimore, Pittsburgh now, and there's some great rivalries, but I don't think there's any better rivalry when both teams are good than Dallas, Washington.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
Talking with Babe Laufenberg here. You can follow him on social media at Babe Laufenberg, Laufenberg. Babe, you were a quarterback in the NFL. You mentioned that you really like what you've seen from Jaden Daniels. What do you think of Daniels specific to yesterday and his performance this season?
It's interesting because I have watched quite a few of his games this year. Sometimes, obviously, again, when I'm doing the games on Sunday, but the Cowboys play every night or every day but Sunday. They play Sunday night. They play Monday. They play Thursday. They got Thanksgiving. So you end up being able to watch a little bit around the NFL. And, I was impressed with him. Actually, if you want to go to at Babe Loffenberg, not that I need Twitter followers or whatnot, but I had posted my pre-draft analysis of Jaden Daniels. I was doing a video cast or whatnot, and I was just talking about how I liked him coming out, and he's done nothing to disprove that. And I do think this too, guys. I kind of think so many of these guys get ruined by they play him too early. You know, they sign him. The minute they draft him, they're the starter. Mm-hmm. And you see kind of what's happening a little bit. Now, Baker Mayfield was in a different situation, although not really, than Sam Darnold. They were both at horrible organizations, losing organizations that just they figure out ways to lose. Mm-hmm. And we see the resurgence in Baker Mayfield's career now in Tampa. We see what Sam Darnold's doing in Minnesota. So my fear is always you play these guys too early. They're not ready. Their confidence gets shot. The team's confidence in them gets shot. Management's confidence in them gets shot. The fans' confidence in them gets shot, and they just never recover. Mm-hmm. And so for Jaden Daniels, though, I guess to step in and do what he's done as a rookie is pretty remarkable. And I do hate – I don't know how badly those ribs are hurting him. I think – I mean, I separated cartilage from my ribs, and it was the most painful kind of debilitating thing, and it lasted 3 months after the season ended. Damn. So I don't know what he's dealing with there in terms of – given a little benefit of the doubt, he missed a few throws yesterday. They didn't run him as much as I think I would have run him. But, again, I don't know his medical condition where he just didn't want to expose him to any more hits. But, obviously, when they did run him, he was effective, got the touchdown, got a big first down on third down. And that's what makes him, as you guys well know, so difficult. Not only is he a thrower, but he's a great runner.
Look, you've covered this game a long time. You've seen quarterbacks come in. Quarterbacks that are mobile guys that are not. Don't you have to get to a point where you allow them to play their game? You tell them to protect themselves, but play their game, because I know we hang on week to week, and we always appear, everybody was saying he shouldn't run. Then when he wasn't running, everybody said he should run. You know.
Well, I look at Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson, excuse me.
Sure.
And he just. I don't care if he's 240.
He was putting that thing on people yesterday.
Oh, but he's just so physical. He's so big and all that. But you're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
If you run the ball, you're going to get beat up if you're a quarterback. The other thing is people don't kind of understand. But quarterbacks' pads, their shoulder pads, they're not built for running. They're built for throwing, meaning very light. And yet you're not bulked up the way a running back is or really any other position is. I guess wide receiver would be different. But so, you know, when a running back carries the ball and gets hit, it's different, the impact that he could absorb with those bigger pads. And, it's catch 22. You want to see the guy run. And then if he gets hurt running, you say, gosh, why did we run him? So, again, I think the best thing about Jaden Daniels is he can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. And I see a lot of Lamar Jackson in him. I know that's not a novel thing, but I look at Lamar and I look at Jaden Daniels, and Lamar's probably a little bit faster, but both kind of those same guys that are elusive. They're smart. They handle the football well. It's funny, very quickly, guys, I had a conversation with Doug Williams, who was an old teammate in Washington, and just love Doug. But I asked him about Jaden, because I see what's on, obviously, TV. I look at film, blah, blah, blah. I don't know about the guy. And Doug could not have been more complimentary of Jaden Daniels. First guy in the building, last guy to leave. I mean, it's everything you're looking for in your quarterback and your leader.
Yeah, I mean, throughout, even going back to OTAs and training camp, that's what stood out to me about Jaden, was the human, even before he threw an NFL pass. We're talking with Babe Loffenberg here, and Babe's down in Dallas, obviously. So the Cowboys, we had a couple folks on last week to cover the Cowboys, and the sky was absolutely falling.
Oh, yes.
How much of that is staved off, perhaps, by a win in Week 12 against a rival?
Well, it's so funny because you would think Cowboy fans would be happy, right? I mean, hey, we beat our rival. We beat Washington. We won a game we really weren't supposed to win. And everybody is worried that
they
now,
pissed off that they messed up the draft pick.
Draft pick, yes. And so I'm like, you can't have it both ways, you know?
Right.
It's like, I'm not a big fan, quite honestly, of, you know, I'm going to say tanking. I think you can do it in the NBA. Obviously, teams have done it. But in the NFL, if you get tanked, you're getting hurt, physically hurt. I mean, if you sit there and say, I'm not going to give effort. But the other thing is, people don't understand. The higher the draft pick, the better the chance they're going to draft a guy to take your job.
Right.
Right? So yeah. I'd be playing my rear end off. So we got, you know, we were down the list on draft picks, and they couldn't get a guy, right?
Yeah. Totally. It's going to be fascinating to watch this. And kind of bringing it back to Washington and a guy you got to know in his three seasons with the Cowboys and Dan Quinn. A lot of talk was about Dan Quinn and Joe Witt knowing this Cowboys offense and defense and kind of what they like to do. But I think yesterday, I don't think anybody really played well in the first half, either side. I think Dallas tried to give the game away and Washington refused it. But in the second half, I thought Dallas played pretty well at times. What did that show about the job Mike McCarthy's doing? And what did that maybe show about what they wanted to show Dan Quinn?
I think Mike McCarthy is a good, solid NFL coach. They have been so depleted here. They were playing without Micah Parsons for 5 weeks. Tank Lawrence has been out for 8 weeks. You're not just talking about players. You're talking about their best players.
Right.
Obviously, they were missing their tight end yesterday. They're missing both guards. The left guard, Tyler Smith, he's a Pro Bowler. He's going to be a great player for 10 years. The right guard, you know, Zach Martin, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. So you come out there and you're just depleted. Deron Bland, their corner, who led the NFL in interceptions last year with 9, had 5 interception returns for touchdowns, set an NFL record. Yesterday was the first game he played all year. He hurt his foot in training camp. So they've just, and obviously Trayvon Diggs was out yesterday. So it's been, you know, there are just those years where a team is just going to get beset with injuries. And the Cowboys, you know, the NFL decided the Cowboys were going to be that team this year.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys did get a lot of them. Bringing it back to Washington, I'm guessing maybe this is a guy you know from his days, even going all the way back to Lubbock in Cliff Kingsbury. A lot of talk here about how Cliff's teams at Arizona had kind of...
I know where you're going.
So please, fire away.
Well, no, but sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Finish it up for those who don't know where you're going.
Yeah, no, just what do you think of the theory that Cliff's offenses fall back in the second half?
I would say there is some validity to it, other than the fact that teams study you all off season. And so how do you perform well, or how does your offense perform well
early
in the first 8, 10, 12 games?
Yeah.
And then go into a slide and then perform well again. It's one thing if you think you've figured somebody out, either offensively or defensively. You know, Vic Fangio does a great job in Philly, and I know you guys had him 2 weeks ago, and Terry McLaurin catches one ball for 10 yards. And I mean, I think he does a great job, and you better study him, and you better figure out how to attack his defense. So teams do that, obviously, in the offseason. You know who you're going to play. They knew they had Cliff Kingsbury. They had him Arizona 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I guess in the short answer to your question is I'm not really a believer that you get to the end of the season and teams have figured out your offense. And again, if it carries into the next year and the year after, well, your offense stinks. But I don't know how you, again, perform well for 8, 10, 12 weeks and then suddenly you take a dip.
Yeah, could it be like once you start to see people figuring things out, you just refuse to change a little bit? Because I know with Coach Gibbs, I would tell them, Coach Gibbs practiced what they were going to go to. So it wasn't like we didn't understand what we're going to do as an audible. We knew what we, because
right.
He would tell you, if they stop this, we're going to go to this. And he would practice it. I don't know how many coaches just like the, a lot of younger coaches that I hear, they don't like, they like their schemes, they like their schemes, they don't leave it.
Yeah, and it's always I think that's always a fine line between just flipping, and hey, you're watching another team's, you're watching another team, and you go, oh, I'm going to incorporate that play. Uh-huh. Oh, I like that play. Now, all of a sudden, your offense isn't really your offense anymore. I think you have to have something that you believe in, whatever yeah. that is, whatever your belief is. You know, everybody, as you know, everybody does it different. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, that offense is different than what Stefanski does in Cleveland, even though it's kind of similar. You know, it's that zone run scheme. And so everybody kind of just, they just do it differently. But they do what they believe in. And I think that's the most important thing. You can't come into your team each week and say, hey, I know last week we talked about this, but this week we're going to flip it. We're going to do all this stuff. At some point, you got to be good at what you do. And I've always said, too, I think the best offenses through the years, I don't want to say they've been simple, but they kind of are simple. They're really good at what they do. Defenses, again, you know, you watch Seattle defense back when they were raging, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played cover three, and they played cover one. Mm-hmm. I mean, they played two coverages throughout the game, and they were just so good at it. They didn't need to disguise it. They didn't need to do a whole bunch of stuff with it. They just said, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're good at. And and when you do something over and over and over, as we well know, you get better at it, right? Yeah. And nobody was better than that. Baltimore was the same way with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. I mean, you kind of knew what you were getting. You just couldn't beat it.
Yeah.
Babe, last question for me. We're talking with Babe Laufenberg, played in Washington, played in Dallas, part of the Cowboys broadcast for many years. You watched them yesterday in person. Are the Commanders a playoff team?
Can I be on your show again after week 17?
Sure. You can come on whenever you want.
Listen, I like to be right, and then I can say, hey, remember when I told you? You'll say, you never said that. You never said that. You know, they're certainly contending. You know, they're certainly contending. You know, and they've got the makings, to me, of a playoff team, right? They got a great quarterback who's only going to get better as the season goes on, provided, again, he heals up a little bit. To me, they've got a really good head coach, a guy that's been there, has taken the team to a Super Bowl. I think they've got the pieces in place to be a playoff team, and I do think they're only going to get better. As you guys well know, this you got so many new players in there this mm-hmm. year that once they get a year in the defensive system and the offensive system and the coaches learn more about the players as the season goes on, you know, I think they're going to be a handful for a number of years to come.
Hey, Babe, thanks very much for the time.
Appreciate
dude.
You, Dave.
Really appreciate
Babe.
It.
Babe.
Okay, always good talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
All thanks, right, dude. Babe Laufenberg from Dallas. A lot of great information. Give him a follow at Babe Laufenberg, LAUFENBERG. Fascinating to think about this as, are they a playoff team? Because I think you could come up with some reasons to support either side on that. Also interesting where people are landing on Cliff Kingsbury. I want to have a discussion. Is there more concern about Cliff or Jaden? To me, I think that there isn't a lot of concern about either, but there's one very clear answer to me. Here's where something else is very clear for me. The high tomorrow is going to be 60 degrees. By the time we get to Sunday, the high is 38 and it might snow. The weather is crazy this time of year. It's almost December. We're going to get warm. We're going to get cold, especially warm in the daytime, chilly at night, and you know what that means. It's time to schedule a $99 heating and cooling check with the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. Yep, only $99. An expert, Crop Metcalf five-star tech, will check both your home's heating and cooling system for one low price. Do what I did. Call today for peace of mind no matter what tomorrow's weather brings. I had Crop at the house last week, 10 days ago. They set up. Those guys do tremendous work, and the sink in my daughter's bathroom is working again. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. And remember, Landfill, Crop Metcalf is the one with five stars. Shout out to Destiny's Child, one of the best to ever do it. Jay-Z was there yesterday. You want me singing for you, Jay? I'm not going to give up. What year did this song come out? I was old.
98, I'm guessing.
No, I think it was
No, way after that.
Yeah. I think this was like 2014.
What?
2008?
Are you insane?
Bro, the group, maybe you're right. I don't know. Jeff, you got a guess? We're having a lot of Destiny's Child discussion.
No, I'm throwing you under the bus. This is coming from the guy who thought Jennifer Hudson was in Destiny's Child.
It was a simple mistake. Kelly Rowland was the name. Listen, Kelly Rowland's a very attractive woman. That's all I have to say about the topic. All right, Jeff?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Now,
Survivor came out
2001.
March 6, 2001. So I was off, but I was 3 years off, and you were 13 years off.
No, I said
you were in a 1990 steel landfill.
JP said 2014.
I'm telling you, I got mixed up.
Probably when he heard it.
But even 08 was more incorrect than I was.
It doesn't matter if you go over by a day, Price is Right rules, you're out.
You're the one that went over.
I'm out. You win. You win the when did Survivor come out sweepstakes. Congratulations. This prize has no financial impact. I want to take a deep breath on this. Stay with me here, B. In college football, now this may change a little bit in the era of the 12-team playoff.
All right.
But more often than not, more years than not, when you lost was more important than who you lost to.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even this season, and I think they're a good team, and I made some money. I actually won money betting this weekend.
Okay.
Throw a damn parade. Not significant, but still, it's always good to see the hoop every once in a while. But in college football this year, Notre Dame looks pretty damn good. That said, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. That's the worst loss of any team that's going to go to the playoffs.
When did they lose it?
Week two.
Mm-hmm. So nobody's worried about it. They don't know about it. They forgot.
Right. Now,
kind of like where addresses are in Alexandria.
Sure. But if you look at Denver, I'm not going to – I really don't care about the Rookie of the Year, be totally mm-hmm. honest with you. But a lot of people do, and a lot of people want to make a big deal out of it. So if you look at the Broncos, they started 0-2, and Bo Nix looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
Early on this season, he looked awful.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot of completions. There was a lot of fumble. There was just turnovers. It really didn't look good. I mean, through 3 weeks of the season, he had – no touchdowns, 4 picks, and they were 1-2. They just, like, offensively, they were really, really limited. In a road win against the Jets, going back to week 4, he was 12 of 25, completed 48% of his passes for 60 yards with a touchdown.
Okay.
That's awful.
All right.
That's awful. But you know what has happened over the last couple months? Nix has started to play a lot better.
Okay.
The Denver Broncos are playing a lot better. And now all of a sudden everybody wants to be like, man, Bo Nix is going to win Rookie of the Year. And they want to use that as some sort of indictment on Jaden Daniels.
You know what I tell people?
Jaden started on fire and has probably plateaued a bit, but is still playing at a high level.
It's not a week for week thing. People got to learn to stop being a roller coaster ride in this football season, man. Understand things are going to go up and down. And that's what it comes down to. Jaden just has to settle down and finish up strong. Because if you start looking at who won what, nobody's close to him. So if that makes somebody feel good about some comments they probably made prior, let them do it. Who gives a damn?
I just think, like, you've got to, if you want to look at Bo Nix, the reason he's starting to look so good, some of it is he's playing well. Denver's defense is playing very well. But it's also like he was so bad that the improvement is so significant that it's like, wow, this guy's really coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden's just been good. He's just been good the whole time. And so much of this is perception driven.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there would be any other answer to if you asked all the GMs in the NFL what quarterback they want from this rookie class. I think there's one answer, and it starts with Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I can't say this loudly enough. I don't care about Rookie of the Year. I think it's cool if Jaden gets it. I don't think it's indicative of anything if he doesn't. Robert Griffin III got it, and yesterday he showed up in an orange corduroy cowboy suit with a jersey tucked in. Like, I don't know. I looked this up earlier, the list of rookies of the year, and some of them are legit. But you know who won it in 2020? Ooh. Herbert won it ahead of Burrow.
Yeah.
Burrow got hurt.
Did Brady win it?
Todd Gurley won it in 15.
Did Brady ever win it?
Did Brady win it? No, because he didn't play till his second season.
Peyton won it?
Peyton probably won it. Let me look.
Threw a lot of interceptions his first year.
What was Peyton's rookie year? I don't see his name, so he probably didn't win it.
I think it was 98, the year Survivor came out.
Because he threw damn near 20, 30 interceptions.
Now, I'm also looking at the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year, so if there's another one, forgive me. Peyton did not win it in 1998. You know who won it?
Who?
Randy Moss.
Aaron Rodgers win it?
No, because he didn't even play as a rookie.
Okay, but I'm just saying great quarterbacks.
Some of the guys that did win it, Mike Anderson with the Broncos, Anthony Thomas with the Bears.
I'm quarterbacks.
You only want quarterbacks? Okay. Roethlisberger won it, but then so did Vince Young. Matt Ryan won it, and then so did Sam Bradford. Then you went Cam Newton, RG3, Eddie Lacy, Odell Beckham, Todd Gurley, Dak Prescott won it, Kyler Murray won it. Like, it's a cool award to win, but it is hardly an immediate link to long-term success. And I just, as much as I don't want people to call in and ask about Forbes and Jamin Davis anymore, I might be check please on the rookie of the year contest odds. I don't know where you land, B, but that might be where I'm headed.
A lot of things I don't like talking about, Jay. I just, you know what I mean?
The stuff you want to talk about, we can't talk about on air.
Mm-hmm.
What was that stuff?
What you talking about? Willis?
I almost said a line from a movie that I definitely can't say on air. It's half baked. What was that stuff we used to eat back in the day?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Landfill, do you care about where the odds go on rookie of the year performances?
I mean, I guess a little. I always like to see when our guys win awards like that. You know, we haven't really had a ton of players on this team that get kind of recognition nationally.
That's not true specific to the rookie of the year award.
I mean, it kind of is.
Chase Young won it 4 years ago.
Yeah, but he sucks.
Asterisk.
I'm just saying.
He's the worst.
Asterisk. Honestly, Chase getting it in 20 and then Robert getting it in 12 are probably significant reasons why I am not investing a lot of time, interest, care into this.
I don't care a lot about him. Just throw this in. Jaden Daniels -400. Bo Nix +300. That's a long ways off.
I don't think that's the most updated odds.
I don't care. This is what I'm showing you, and I'm just going to leave from that one.
Okay, but I think the most recent odds are much, much closer.
Okay, when?
I saw Tim Murray tweeting about it this morning. Love Timmy. Don't really care about this.
This was November 20th.
Yeah,
what's the date? 25th?
That was before yesterday's game.
Okay.
So now, according to DraftKings this morning, Jaden's still the favorite at -135, but Bo Nix is only +110. So
I can go get you.
They're neck and neck.
All those different things, they all of them going to be different.
They're all going to roughly reflect that. Jaden was a huge favorite for a long time. Bo Nix was an afterthought.
To say
for
you
a
don't
want
to talk about it, you show following it closely. You do that off the bat.
I'm looking at the information on my computer screen. Jeff, you care?
I'm not going to lie. I wanted our boy to win it. I don't care if he won it, like get it or not, but like, I want him to win it. This dude. To us fans, Jaden is the biggest thing. Everyone wanted success. He came out firing. Everybody wanted him to finish it off, and I'm with him. Do I think he can still do it? Yes. Do I want to see him do it? Yes.
He could still do it. I mean, he could still. It's certainly not over, right? And I think everybody kind of needs to understand that. I think we should all take odds for rookie of the year. I really don't think it matters. Brock Bowers statistically is having like the greatest rookie season for a tight end ever. I don't think anybody's going to get caught up in that. Jaden probably was the reason they won for a few games, but he's certainly not the reason they're losing. I thought he was quite good in the second half the other day. And it's just... I don't know what the answer is, but I do know what the answer is if you're having trouble with your appliances. You've heard me talk about Better Appliance, based out of Kensington, Maryland. DMV family-owned company for 70 years. If you're having trouble with your appliances, man, call Better, B-E-T-T-A-R. In the last 6 weeks, I've had them come out for my dishwasher. They fixed it, got me a new one, got the whole thing done within about 2 days because luckily they had one in their warehouse. So they can do both repairs and they can get you a new appliance if you need it. And then just last week, my dryer started acting funny. I got them out to the house. They cleaned all the lint out of the filters. They told me what I need to do long-term to get it fixed. Jeff knows all about it. It's a pipe issue. Now, if you call them now, one, you'll make sure all your appliances are in good shape with the holidays coming up. Nobody wants their appliances to go down when you got people over for Thanksgiving, you got people over for Christmas, you're having a big holiday party with all your coworkers. That is not the time for your appliances to go down. Call Better. And now is the time for new appliances. Better is offering KitchenAid rebates up to $2,000 on appliances until the end of the year. Reach out to them for details. You don't want to miss out on this incredible opportunity of up to $2,000 in savings on KitchenAid rebates. I just got a KitchenAid dishwasher. It is dope. Check them out. Better Appliance, betterappliance.com. You better call Better, B-E-T-T-A-R. Landfill playing this song for the Francis Tiafo tennis crowd, I think. A little bit of news here. I'm seeing this from Schefter. I'm sure others have seen it. Roquan Smith not expected to play tonight against the Chargers.
Ooh.
That's a loss for the Ravens.
A loss of a player, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, we've been talking about this, and Grant and I were talking about this on social media earlier. Jaden's blitzes, his pressure rates when he drops back, haven't changed that much since early in the season to the last five games or so. Mm-hmm. One area where they've changed, and I want to credit Nick Ackridge, and this matches the eye test, I would say. I'm curious if you agree, B. The pressures were coming from the edges. Now they're coming from the interior, and the interior is their performance has deteriorated significantly based on Pro Football Focus's grades, which are subjective anyway, but the tackles have done much better. I think Cliff, offensively, they have chipped and used tight ends really well. I mean, just think about the stats that jump to mind for Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. Yeah. Nobody got home versus Micah had a huge impact on the day yesterday.
And
they moved him inside a ton.
Yeah, they put Micah in so many different areas. I think he has more an opportunity because T.J. and Miles are normally in the same spot for the most part.
Yeah, I just think the interior pressure, if you don't want to make like an easy, just grand proclamation of blaming somebody, like, oh, Cliff sucks in the second half, which statistically is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. I think the interior pressures are a huge part of this thing.
True.
And you can use your backs to help on interior pressure.
You can.
It's a different area.
Launch angle to come and hit a guy coming straight up the middle, you can really affect a guy then. But like the tackle, you just chipping back onto the guy.
Yeah, it's
a little more difficult because you can't cut him.
The point's really different.
Because they're going to have it. They're going to be engaged. If you cut him, then you're probably going to get a penalty on that. So.
Actually, the play we saw Jaden run for the touchdown, Sennett was kind of lined up in an H-back traditional spot. I wonder if you could see more of that, kind of that pistol look with an H-back back there.
If you just tell guys, give it a look before you go. That'll help it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes if you're just standing there, that tackle slows up because that tackle don't want to get blasted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Neither of them, they don't want to get blasted. So they will slow up to either attack you or attack the other guy to try to, you know, take some of the hit off of it.
Let's make some bets.
Let's do it.
Uh-huh. Gather around.
We got football tonight. We got basketball. We got a lot of stuff. What do we like, boys?
Ravens money line
for the game? Young Jeffrey.
This is hard for Jeff. It's his team.
To L.A.
Oh, this is the battle of Jeff Walker's second team.
Yeah.
They should sell T-shirts. Game is in Los Angeles.
Wow, that's right, Jeff.
Yes, and I'm taking the Ravens.
Who's your second team now, Jeff?
There is no second team now.
Wow.
It's football season.
I mean, he's had second teams during football season before.
That's only when there was no bright future for us. The future is looking very
bright. He always had an excuse.
Despite the loss yesterday, the future is looking very bright. No second team.
But Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown.
And
I'm coming soon. Don't worry.
Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown, -220.
-220, can't do that one.
Yeah, can't do that. I'm taking Ladd McConkey.
But don't worry,
touchdown.
I'm throwing it on with something else, so don't worry about it.
Honestly, the parlay would probably knock it down enough that you could do that.
I know,
but since we don't use real odds, it's kind of hard to do.
No, it's not. Well, I'm be sitting up here trying to mess up something I've done.
If you took two -200 parlays, it wouldn't work for our game.
I'm not going to take two -200 parlays. Yeah, you talking about. Landfield take all these things that we don't even know about. We don't know what the odds are on them damn things. What are you talking about? What do you think? All that crazy.
El Salvadorian soccer league.
Yeah, what are you supposed to know? We don't know.
Landfield's betting cricket.
He don't even know. He just throw it out there.
I think AD legitimately bets cricket.
AD look like a cricket.
AD bets anything he can get his hands on. All right. B's still parlay hunting.
Yep.
I don't necessarily like it, but I got to stand on business, Jeff. The Chargers are getting points at home in a night game. Give me the Chargers plus a 2.5 all damn day.
You're going to be disappointed.
Harbaugh Bowl, baby.
I'm going to take
Jeff,
Brooklyn
you and I can
Nets
both win.
And the Golden State Warriors, the over. With that, anytime touchdown.
So you have an NBA over and a Derrick Henry anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
I like that. Cross-sport B-Mitch.
Yeah.
Multi-platform B-Mitch.
I do.
Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to everybody that called in, especially the people that called in and weirdly tried to blame us. We didn't do anything. Thank you to Peter Rosenberg.
Who tried to blame us?
Drew blamed me for a tweet.
Well, Drew's right. You shouldn't have tweeted that before the game was over.
Thank you to Peter Rosenberg. Thank you to Babe Laufenberg. Grant and Danny.
Atmosphere.
Grant and Danny coming your way next. Shout out to Jeff Walker and his big bald head. It's beautiful. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.